Hi, I'm Chloe Biru. Welcome to the Chats by Chloe. For more than 10 years, the Chloe platform brings inspiring stories about people and travel on different channels, newsletters, the Chloe magazine, and this podcast. Access our Instagram at ByChloe and subscribe for free. Ah, and follow me on my Instagram account at Chloe Ribeiro. She takes beauty to another level. She's a successful makeup artist and global beauty director for Estée Lauder. She knows everything about brushes, lipsticks, skin, and healthy tricks. But I can tell you, her energy is what really shines on her skin. My guest today is Violette. Hi, Violette. So nice to have you here for our podcast today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Before we started the podcast, you said that you've been to Brazil.
Yes.
How was it?
I'm a huge fan. Like, I was always very attracted to the Brazilian culture, but this trip we had with my boyfriend for a month was honestly the most incredible experience I ever had.
And you traveled, like, all of the coast of Brazil.
Yeah.
Have been to, like, so you've been to Rio.
Rio, Paraty, Sao Paulo, Trancoso, Fernando, you know, the island in Noronha.
Fernando de Noronha, yes.
Lençóis.
You've been to places that I never been. It's amazing.
It was, I mean, the two places that really shocked me in a good way the most were Lençóis, because for those who don't know, it's a desert with all these dunes, and between all the dunes you have Blue Lagoon, because mm-hmm. it's a rain mm-hmm. for 6 months that created those like pool. So it's like an incredible vision of something completely unreal. And I think even if you're not spiritual, you'll become spiritual
exactly.
when you get there, because it's so incredible.
It's like, for those who believe in energy, they say that Bahia, it has a special energy. So like when you have New Year's Eve, there are people that just travel there.
To be there.
I even have goosebumps, because it's interesting. Like there are certain places on Earth that you have this different vibration. It's so interesting.
I absolutely believe. And the other one was the Amazonia.
Oh,
that was mind-blowing.
It's so funny. Like, I never been to Amazon.
I hope you can go soon.
Yeah, I'll definitely go. I have to explore my country more.
Yes, you should. You're really lucky to have Brazil as your country.
Yeah.
You should really go hunt for the treasures.
For sure. So, when did you move to New York?
4 years ago.
4 years? Mm-hmm. Oh, it's recently.
Soon, very recently.
And you, before you were where?
In Paris.
And you are from Paris?
Yes.
So how was this move? Like, it was for work, it's for your personal life? How did everything
start? It was very much for my personal life, mm-hmm. Because professionally-wise, it was like the biggest moment in my career in France. Everything was starting for me really well, and it was no time to leave at all, you know? But I went through a breakup, and it was... honestly, one of the most, the time that made me evolve the most in my, personally as a woman, because I started to, you know, when you think you're going to be with someone for the rest of your life, and then there is this moment you realize this is not going to happen, it's really hard, but this is the truth, and your life has to be completely erased, the projection you had has to be completely erased. And this moment, when you put the pain aside and you just like, well, I can do whatever I want now. So let's just sit a second. Forget about work. Forget about anything. Where do you want to be?
Yeah.
And I always wanted to be in New York.
It's interesting how you feel like, it happened with me, the same thing. So it looks like you feel that you're just an individual in this world. And you can, like, just design a new path for yourself.
Yeah.
So this was the moment that you said, I'm going to move.
Exactly. And what was great about it is that I had a projection for the future back then, and then I had no more. Mm-hmm. But I didn't try to make a new one, mm-hmm. which was very unlike me, because I think I always needed to have like some sort of goals and things to keep moving. Mm-hmm. And I decided to just let, you know, the universe do whatever he wants with me. So I just said, okay, I'm going to make one decision. I'm going to move to New York. And people around me were like, you're crazy. You're going to leave all your family. You have nobody. Yeah. Doing through a breakup alone in a city during winter. It's going to be really hard.
Yeah, it is.
What about work? Even if people know you in the US, you don't have this, you know, client list or notoriety in like in France. But it's fine. I was like, you know what? I will start again. I'll do it again. It's okay. And I went to New York, found an apartment, and fought to get it. It was really complicated. Really? All the paperwork.
Oh my God! Yeah, they want years and years and years of contract.
Yeah, exactly. It was like, do you want my?
So you really think that if you can make it here, you can make it anywhere? Because it's tough to start here.
It's really tough, but I must admit that I'm very aware that I'm privileged. So I can't really say that it was tough for me. I'm aware it is very tough because I also went here for a year when I was 18 and I had absolutely no money and I knew nobody. And it was a time where after 9/11, where, you know, my country didn't want to commit to fight with the United States afterwards. So we were, I mean, people hated us, some, not everybody, but I've been kicked out of cabs many times when they understood I was French. So, and I had no papers and I was like begging for a job.
Really?
It was really intense. So I experienced this sort of New York. Mm-hmm. That was difficult. But again, even then I just watched last year a French documentary about the extreme way of living in New York, from homeless to very rich people.
Really?
And I talked to my boyfriend, who is New Yorker, and I said, "Do you know that's happening?" And I explained to him what I saw, and I was very, very upset. And he said, "No, and I heard that. Yeah, people live down those, you know, those tunnels of the subways and all of this, but I don't think he realized all the details I shared with him." So since I've seen this now, I keep saying, "Yes, it was difficult on a personal level, but I'm very privileged."
And then when you move, what do you think that changed about yourself?
It's
like professionally and personally.
Personally, honestly, the first month to move to a new country and to the whole culture you thought was every international and like everybody's the same, you realize that actually absolutely not.
This is the same thing that I always say. Yeah, because for me, like for even like for business for the magazine, I thought like, oh, when we move to US, everything's going to be perfect because I think that there, like everybody follow the rules. And what I discover here is like people is just people, no matter where you are. The ones that wants to be correct will be correct. The ones that want to be, it's like a mess will be a mess.
Yes, we're just individuals, but it's true that I'm sure you experienced this too. But from France to US for me was a cultural shock. Oh. Even though I went to the US so many times, to just live there for real, I had to adapt. I mean, I learned many things. For example, my boyfriend is something I always talk about because it was the best advice that I think all French people should know. Guys, it's for you. He told me, you know, when you say something, you have to understand that people around you are going to have emotion based on what you're saying. So, for example, if you're complaining about the restaurant or the place you are, the day you're having, whatever, it's just impacting you. And it's also going to impact the people around because maybe they made the decision to take that restaurant and maybe they take that decision to have you have that day or something like this. And it's funny because I think in France, which in a way is pretty healthy, we are educated to just let it out and not filter ourselves and not take everything personally. So if you complain with me, I will be like, that's her problem, that's not mine, and be cool with it. But then you don't realize, but days after days, all of this negativity will build up on you and you feel heavy and you don't know why. You know? And then at first when he told me this, I said, well, you shouldn't take it personally, that's your problem. And he really explained it to me, and I was like, well, whatever, he wants me to do that, I'm going to adapt to him, that's what you do in a relationship, so I did it, and actually really enjoyed it. It's not meaning changing yourself and not being honest, filter like, a little bit,
of course,
you know, be positive. So personally, that was, the change of culture was very, very shocking, but also very, it made me evolve a lot. One thing I heard is that when you are put in a country where you don't speak your language anymore, your whole brain has to rewire.
That's so interesting.
And it's so true because honestly, I remember telling my friends there, yeah. I see myself being stupid.
Speaking French.
No, but
do you have do you do pauses now to speak French sometimes?
Yeah, I do that.
I'm doing it.
Yeah, you speak like both language together, which people make fun of course.
Yeah.
But it's also like I couldn't count anymore that much. I was losing. And after he came back, but I really understood, yes, my brain had to rewire and it changed even my personality. I grew so much for this experience because to restart from scratch at work. Even the good thing is people.
And how was it? Like you arrived, we will come back to the subject, but you arrived and then you started like contacting people. How was it? How was the
process? Yeah, the process. Well, my agent is international, so I had an office in New York. Mm-hmm. And the luck for me is that people in the industry knew me. So my agent just had to call them and let them know I was living here now. But you know, it takes some time. People have teams, they work together and they forget the that you're here. Yeah, great, she's here, but then they forget the second after. And then it's people that started to work with me. It was still not enough for me to earn my life and pay my rent because, you know, life in New York is much more expensive than in Paris. So it took me a while, but the great thing about it is that this, for me, was really like an 8-month time that was a bit harsh. I remember I took an office and I decided to rethink my artistry. Be like, okay, who I am, do I want to say, what's my style? Because I was surfing on this aesthetic since years because that was working. Mm-hmm. And that was something I loved. But at some point, I expressed myself plenty of time about this aesthetic. So did I still love it? So I took the time to think about it and I printed all the art, clothing, makeup, paintings, anything that inspired me without thinking if it was making sense to a job. Mm-hmm. I just printed it all on the wall and then I started to see an aesthetic, a new one. And I was like, you know what? That's absolutely the new me now. I want to do editorials where I put no foundation on the girl's face. I treat them like muses. It's not something glossy retouch. There's no retouch. It's about being very honest, very real, and to use makeup as a statement for you to express yourself and celebrate who you are. And at that time, I started to be with my boyfriend, who's mm-hmm. a fashion photographer, Steven mm-hmm. Pan, and he was before one of my favorite photographers, so that was amazing because I shared with him my new direction, and he was going through exactly the same thing. So we did together. We really said, okay, let's do beauty stories together where we're going to do that style. And we did. And it was such a success that, boom, since then, everything started for me here.
Wow. And it's good that you have, like, a great partner to exchange ideas. And
it's amazing.
Like, have a deeper exchange about the content of what you do.
Exactly. Real discussion about just what do we want to express but also sometimes like when I decided to do my YouTube channel, I didn't tell him anything.
Yeah, so tell me about this part. How did you start it?
It was 2 years ago. Uh-huh. I mean, 2 years and a half, no, 2 years and 3 months or something like this. I started to think about it because I was scrolling down Instagram and looking at all this makeup that became super, you know, contouring and a lot of makeup. And I could see all these videos where the thing was to change yourself. That was the cool thing. And it's fascinating to watch it for sure. Like, yes. I was, like, stopping
it. It doesn't look like it's makeup. It looks like it's a mask.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it's, I think it's, you know, fascinating. And I wonder, like, even me, I'm going to put a view on it because I'm going to stare at it. But then I was like, okay, there is people who relate to it, obviously, but who, like, girls like me that don't want to put all this makeup on, What do we do? Who do we look for, you know? So I said, okay, I'm going to do some videos and just try. And I called one of my friends who's an actor and he was visiting the States then and he was traveling with his friend who's a director. Mm-hmm. And I called him and I said, you know, I really want to do a video doing my makeup on. And what do you think? He said, sure, we can do it. And I said, really? Okay, can we do one at a bar and one in the in the car? Ah. And he was like, what do you mean? Like a makeup tutorial in a bar and in a car? I don't think we can.
That's what girls do.
Exactly. I said, well, this is where I do my makeup for real. Yeah, so I want to show something real.
Yeah.
That's great the motivation. Idea. And at first he told me, well, my friend is car sick and and also I don't know how we can film inside the car because it's going to be really dark, so we need to use some lighting. And I was like, no, I don't want to use any lighting. I want it to be really real. I was very focused on this. And I said, trust me, even if it doesn't look good, I just want to try. So we did it, and I was so happy with it that I was like, okay, I'm just going to put it on YouTube. But the idea was I never had like a strategy of, okay, let's do a YouTube channel and let's make my audience grow. Because when I shared with people at work, guys, I'm going to post on my YouTube channel. I'm going to do a YouTube channel. I'm going to put some video of makeup. People were like, you're crazy. YouTube was absolutely uncool for fashion industry. You're going to kill your reputation that it took so long for you to establish.
They said you would kill your reputation?
Yeah, because they said you're not going to be credible anymore. And it's true that only Lisa Eldridge was doing a YouTube channel as a makeup and was still very respected as a fashion makeup artist. Mm-hmm. But that was it. Nobody did this. So I said, well, it's been 14 years that I'm lucky enough to express myself freely in magazines because magazines trust me and I work more as a creative director where I control a bit with the team, the aesthetic of the shoot. Mm-hmm. So I was really able to express myself. For so many years, it was a bit me, myself, and I was like, it's time for me to turn myself towards women and do something with them and help them if I can.
Yeah.
And so if the fashion industry is going to reject me because I'm doing this, then great. You know, it's cleaning my path, so I'll do it. And he did the opposite. So I was like, see, just follow.
And you never check anything like regarding numbers and like all of the detail. It's great.
It's like I heard people...
It's good.
That telling me you should post less art, post more selfies. People who really give me like strategy feedbacks, and I was like, you know what? I don't really care about all this strategy. I'm just gonna do what I think is right for me, and that's it.
It's great. I was like watching some videos, and there's this one that you talk about the French curl. French wave style.
Oh yeah, with Laurent.
Yeah. Oh my god! Because like my hair is wavy, and it's very hard to manage my hair in New York because the weather is so different in Brazil. And the way that you explain, it's very. It's not that thing like, hi girls, I'm here. Like,
I can't do that.
Yeah, I know, but like, it's important because then I feel your channel is a mature channel to really, to really show like how beauty can be perceived and work this content on a level that you can explain for us issues, but not having us like just watching a random girl. Because I'm not the kind of girl that I will put a lot of makeup on my face. Yeah. It's not my style. But what it's out there, it's basically it.
Yeah, so you don't have much choice.
Yeah.
That's for girls like you or even girls that are, you know, I met a lot of people during my tour when I go to lunch for my collection. And I met some girls who told me, you know, I thought that was it. That was the way to go. And I had to put foundation on and I had to put contouring. And then I found you and I decided to take it all off. And I'm so happy now because I feel like I'm accepting who I am better.
Exactly.
And that makes my day. I'm like, oh my God, I'm so happy because I don't want women to fit other people's taste. It's great. You know, if somebody doesn't think you're beautiful, don't be depressed and think, oh, it's hard. It's painful. Think this way.
Hmm.
Great. I'm super happy I know you think I'm not beautiful because you can now get out of my life. So it's great news because someone else is going to find you beautiful. Yeah. There's no way everybody's going to think you're not beautiful.
It is even interesting. We were talking about A Star Is Born and she talks about her nose.
Yeah.
It's so nice the way that she approaches the subject. Like, no one accept me in the industry because I have a big nose. Like, it's so cute and so...
It's great. I was happy to see this moment too, yeah. Because it's true. In any image industry, you know, it's... You're like, okay, you need like small nose, big eyes, plum lips and...
Yeah.
But... Honestly, I've met women that are happy with who they are, and they maybe not the what you like, you know, fitting all the criteria of the perfect beauty. But to me, they are so much more beautiful.
Oh yeah,
because I feel who they are. I feel their soul. I feel their
energy.
And
they have presence, right?
Yeah, that's for me. And also, I want to see you. When there is so much like fake hair, fake lashes, foundation, I'm like, who are you? I can't see you.
You know? It's like that story of girls that they go to a bar and then after sleeping the first night with the guy wakes up and like, who's this girl?
Well, yeah.
Right? Well, but now you work with Estée Lauder.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this subject. So how did everything start with them? And what do you do? What is to be the director for the brand, like globally, it's like a creative director for the brand?
So it's a beauty director. The brand has Matthew Parr, who is an amazing creative director already, mm-hmm. who's in charge of all the image of the company, mm-hmm. which is huge. I don't even know how, if he sleeps at night. I don't think he does. And he's the one who came to get me, actually. So I'm the global beauty director, which means that as a makeup artist, like a professional makeup artist, I'm going to guide the brand to make sure like every product they're going to design is going to fit women's life and it's going to work.
It's a new position in the industry? Like,
No, it's actually an old job, and that's kind of the goal when you're a makeup artist. That's where you want to, not end, but go, because It's such an amazing position to be able to be the link between women and a brand, you know? What's new in my position is that I'm doing 4 collections a year that is a real collaboration between Estée Lauder and I. And, you know, again, it's funny people projection, but people told me, you know, you're kind of wild and
wild.
It's true. I'm very wild and stubborn, and you are absolutely incapable to do something if you don't believe in it.
Yeah.
And it's 100% truth. I'm really aware of it, which makes it difficult for me sometimes to work with clients, because if they tell me this is the way to go and I'm like, no, I don't believe this, then we're going to get stuck.
But they also hiring like your perspective about things, and they must know that.
Well, right? You know, I thought so, and then people are like, I want you to be you and stay you, and then they want to change you without even really realizing it. So it's funny, because the first time I met with Lauder, I had nothing to lose in my head for the story. I'll tell you how it happened after. But the first thing I told them is, I'm not easy to work with, you guys. I need to tell you.
I'm wild.
I'm filterless. I'm very stubborn. And because, not about ego ever, because this for me has to be on the side for me to do my job well. But because I am driven by my faith in what I do.
Yeah.
But like crazy. Like I'm an animal. My instinct is taking over. Uh-huh. So it makes me kind of inflexible. And they laughed and they say, yeah, we're not surprised. But honestly, so people told me, you know, you're going to work with such a big company. How are you going to fit in there? It's going to be difficult for you. Well, Estée Lauder is based on a family spirit. Mm-hmm. And like a family member, you have no choice to accept the way they are. So that's how they're treating me, in a very respectful way. And when I come to them and say, oh, I want to do this for the collection, and I tell them the story, and it can be provocative or not, they're going to be like, cool. They're never going to come back to me trying to adjust something. Or if there is one wish they have, they're going to come to me and explain me, and then it's going to be discussion. And at the end of the day, I'm always going to be like, yeah, you're right. It's actually interesting. Yeah. And that gives me some inspiration, what you're saying. And that's amazing. That's really amazing. One thing also I really love is that I told them, and it's very connected to what I just said, but the first day I was in the office, I said to the product development team, I said, I really don't want to see any trend books, because I don't care about trends.
Amazing.
I care about what women tell me they want and about a feeling of that time, but I really don't care about trends. Yeah. And I don't want to know who's selling what and how much they're making and what's successful, because we're not going to be followers. We're just going to do what we think is great, because I think that's how Madame Estée Lauder was when she started. And I want to stick to this because I think that she was amazing. And I never, they respect this perfectly. I never heard anything. They never showed me a trend book. So I'm really... Yeah, I feel very humble in front of them, and the way they work with their people, it's amazing.
And how was that, like, the invitation for it that you were going
how
to
they
mention?
Reach out?
Yeah.
So it was funny because it was a year I launched my YouTube channel, and I had many brands who came to me to do beautiful collaboration or have a big job with them. And yeah. I never thought, honestly, in my career that I will be at a point where I have the choice. That was... really incredible, but I took it not with like, oh my God, I was like, okay, I have to make a good choice, and also I have to be respectful with the brands I'm talking to, and the problem is that most of them required me to travel a lot and to come back to France a lot, and I really made the decision to, you know, have a family and start, and you know, when I say start a family, for me it starts with a couple. And I decided for a really personal reason to not do it. And Estée Lauder was not in the picture yet. So I basically declined everything. And
when it has to happen, it happens, right?
I fell in my instinct. You know, one day an American brand will come to me and this American will fit my philosophy and will make it work. But I never really thought of Estée Lauder and anybody
else. It's good that you're wild, but at the same time, you're very laid back and you're like, you know how to wait. You know how to give the pauses that your life, like, it's probably required for you. So it's good.
It's important to really trust that nothing happens just right this second. You know, life is keep on going. So it was really very strong, this instinct. And 2 weeks later, I got an email from Matthew who said, can we meet up? And it's funny because I even didn't think, it even crossed my mind it was for this. So I went and met with them, and I was really late. I was like a tourist, honestly. I was like very laid back. I was like, hey guys, yeah, I'm really wild. Are you sure you want to work with me? And I didn't even know why. And then Matthew, after the meeting, took me on the side and told me, I really want to work with you on this level. And I was like, oh. Okay. And I didn't hesitate because I'm so admirative of Estée Lauder, who created this. I mean, I kept saying this in my interview, so sorry for the people who heard this before, but it's true. She created a business in an era where for women it was impossible.
Yeah.
And I was so inspired by this and all her philosophy about... She really cared for women, really, really cared. So I was like, yes, thank you for thinking of me.
And it's hard to talk about one product, but what is the product that you like most about the I would say, collection now?
So if we really take aside the products I make for the company, because they're all my babies and it's hard to pick. Yeah, it's really hard to pick one from this. Also, it's seasonal products, so none of them are still, you know, sold now. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm launching my new collection in a few weeks, but, you know, it's funny because I don't like foundation and I don't wear foundation, really. But the only one I'm going to wear is their foundation, because they have, first of all, they have so many colors since a very, very long time. Always that to me, I'm olive skin like you,
and it's difficult, worried to come here because it's like, oh my God, I don't know what I'm going to do for makeup, but whatever.
No, you look
then she can
perfect.
Give me like some tips.
But for foundation, it's tricky because you're not pink, you're not really yellow, you're really
so. What is
between.
The name of my olive?
Your olive skin, yeah. All the Mediterranean women, Latin women, usually they're like olive skin. Mm. So I was really happy to be able to find A, my color, and B, I was happy also because you can really work the foundation in a way that it's going to look very natural, even if you put more product.
Yeah.
And it's going to stay all day. And for me, that's important because I don't want to think about my makeup at the end of the day. Yeah. I put this blue on my eyes this morning. I don't even know how
you
it
know
looks
how
like.
To do it. I will never be able, I will be like, I will look like the... I don't know. I look like a clown now. Be horrible.
No, it's actually easy.
Yeah. No, I do you have a video about this eyliner that she used?
Yeah, I did a few eyeliners.
Because like it's blue, right?
It's really blue, yeah.
But it's like it's not a blue that it's like super. It's chic. It's the dark way that you do it is very sophisticated.
Thank you. It's from a new collection, La Dangereuse, where I created a blue palette, and this one is the stronger blue from the palette. But it's vibrant and dark, so you can wear it easier. That's why I created this exact shade.
Great. So let's go for our ping pong.
Okay.
So what's your wake up ritual?
Okay, it's not very glamorous, but the first thing I do is to use, how do you call this, like a tongue scraper or something? I'm going to clean my tongue and I'm going to clean my teeth first thing. I don't even say hi to my boyfriend or whatever. It's just because the liver is going to process and detox like all your organism during the night.
Uh-huh.
So when you wake up, you have all of this just there on your tongue and your mouth. So for the people who are just going to drink a glass of water first thing, I'm like, you're just putting it all back in there.
Oh!
Yeah.
Oh! I was thinking about that. I was like doing the water with lemon, the lemon water, and it was great. It's not.
It's great afterwards.
Oh.
So that's the first thing I'm going to do. I do not drink coffee. I just hate the taste. That's going to be my... I guess that's going to be like my coffee, just because it's not going to give me energy, but that's the first thing I need to do.
But then you drink what? You drink tea?
I drink hoibos tea, which is an African tea that has no caffeine, but is very, very healthy. Mm. Green tea also, and rosemary infusions are amazing for the liver, actually. Because the liver is the organ you really want to cherish. Because that's gonna be your skin tone. That's gonna be your eye color. That's gonna be your
eye color.
Yeah, the white of the eye. So it's really white. Your hair, your nails, everything is, you know. Also.
So what do you have for breakfast? It was not even a question here, but like I don't know.
Well, it changes. I have my period, right now I'm in this obsession about this thing called miam aux fruits.
Okay, translate.
What is it? So it's a very, very, very healthy breakfast. To me, it's the yummiest thing on earth too. So if you Google it, it's called miam, so M-I-A-M, then O, and then fruit, who is like fruit in English, in French.
Mm-hmm.
And it has been created, I don't know the name of this, I don't know if she was a naturopath or... a nutritionist or both, but she created this breakfast as a perfect breakfast for your health. So you have all these things I don't know how to say in English, but you have all these grains, like I put hazelnut, almond flour. You have to smash a banana, and you have to smash it for a long time because it has to oxide. Otherwise, it's not good. It's just sugar.
Oh my
sugar.
God, you're seeing so many interesting things. I'm loving it.
You have to Google it because they're going to be like, okay, you have to have the banana and really smush it for a while until it's liquid. And then you put in all those like things. I'm sorry, I don't know how to say in English.
Mm.
And you mix it, they say half a lemon. For me, it's way too acidic. So I put sour, not acidic. Mm-hmm. So I put just a bit of lemon. And then you cut your fruits and you put them on this sort of gooey thing. Honestly, it's so good. I'm like addicted to it.
Yeah, the way that you're describing, it sounds very good.
It's very healthy. So if you look at the calorie side, because you have to put canola, like cold pressed organic, otherwise it's not healthy for you, oil in it, you're going to be like, oh my God, banana and this oil and those grains, it's super caloric. It's okay. People are having this obsession with calorie. Calorie is not, are not, you should not, you shouldn't count calorie like this. It just, they try to help you, giving you a number. But honestly, good fat like this is in the morning. This is, the morning is when you have the enzyme to digest the fat.
So like maybe I'll say something and you'll say that I'm completely wrong. So I'm following this, it's not a rule, but I'm doing this like intermittent fasting.
Yeah, no, that's actually very healthy.
So it's good.
Yeah, it's very good because
I'm not having
your organs are, you know, on pause for a minute. Otherwise, your organs are always working. You're getting tired. Yeah, yeah. So it's actually very good.
But it's important to eat something like.
Yeah. So you cannot have breakfast and you can have this thing I told you about for lunch. for example. But the good thing about eating this in the morning is you have the enzyme to digest the fat in the morning. Mm. So it's better to eat it in the morning. And that's why you need to know, I really invite people to learn about macrobiotic, because your enzymes and at what time you can eat what. For example, you love chocolate. Well, it's going to be processed by your organs better if you eat it in, you know, afternoon, like 4 or 5 p.m., because that's the time you can digest sugar better, for example. It's good to know, so you can cheat if you want to stay healthy. For me, I'm not a rigid person with, you know, food, but I'm very educated because I'm just a big nerd in this. And
yeah.
I know these things, so now I can, like, I know how to treat my body. I know in the morning I want cheese, and, you know, I'm French, I love cheese. I want all the fats in the world, but I'm more into a healthy fat. I don't really like all the bacon and fried stuff. And it's good to know that's the moment when you can really, yeah, like you know, enjoy
this. I'm loving it. And what about the night? What about the night ritual?
The night ritual, I mean, there is all the part before where I cook a lot. I listen to classical music and with a glass of wine when I cook.
Ah, it's just like a movie.
Or an old lady, which yeah. I am. it's important for me to be home and take some time at home. And the skincare regimen I have is very, very important because I wear rarely foundation. So I need to have a good skin. So, I mean, it's no miracle. I work hard for it.
You did a great job. Like, your skin is like, no, your skin is like velvet.
Oh, thank velvet. You so much.
Like, I'm embarrassed.
Oh, you cannot complain. You're not allowed. You're not allowed. You have an amazing skin.
Thank you. So how would you, I know that you're not into the trendy things about analytics, but how would you describe yourself in a hashtag? Wild? It would be wild? Free hashtag
spirit.
Wild?
We are wild. Free spirit.
Yeah, okay. And what puts you in a good mood right away? You naturally have this amazing vibration, as we were talking about energy. Like, I'm feeling very comfortable to interview you. But, like, what makes, if you're not feeling, like, for example, for the first days that you were here.
Yeah, yeah. So
what would you do to?
Colors.
Yeah.
Colors, definitely. So that's what I'm trying to say to women too. It's like, you wake up in the morning, you know, we all have weekdays, we don't feel good, depressed, or just, and you don't even know why sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, it's fine, we all have that. So just wake up, take the time for yourself, and look at your makeup or look at your clothes and think, what is going to make me feel great? So, for example, for me, wearing like an amazing red intense lipstick, it's going to give me my vibe back, you know?
Mm.
Or wearing a red sweater, or wearing a vibrant blue dress, or whatever, I don't know. But colors have a vibration, and I really believe that what you're going to see in the mirror, what you're wearing, how people are going to respond when they see you, all this is going to impact on how you feel. And colors really create that. Like, the other day I had this yellow mustard incredible dress, and it made people like smile. The waitress even was like, I love your dress. Or when I wear, you know what, the thing that makes everybody happy, I would say, is glitter. Mm. When I wear a bit of glitter on my eyes, people are like, oh, you put glitter on. I love that. I feel like glitter is definitely the way to go.
Even if you're wearing a suit, it's like, it changes, right?
You wear a suit, you feel stronger. You know?
No, but the suit with the glitter.
For the glitter, you're like, then you. But I also think, you know, you can wear white t-shirts, blue jeans, messy hair, and you have this little glitter on top of your eyelid, and that's really fresh too.
That's the signature look. So, a book that everyone should read.
Oh, I read so many books, so if I have to pick one, I would say, I don't know the title.
Yeah, it's just
in English.
We can find it give
okay,
them
the
link.
It's Kafka sur le rivage of Murakami.
Oh, this is so chic.
Maybe it's called just Kafka. It's from this Japanese author called Murakami.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a story about Oedipe, do you say
it? Mm-hmm.
So it's, for me, it was the most incredible book. An amazing love story would be her lover from, her lover or lover? Her love, something that's from Albert Cohen. That was also an amazing, amazing book.
Amazing. And just our last question here. dating a New Yorker, being in New York, what are your three favorite hotspots to go? By the way, yeah. I was at Sun Umbrellas last week and I saw you there.
Oh, really?
Yes, I saw you there.
Did you see me? Yeah, with
I think
him?
You were with a pink, pink, it was like light pink jacket, I think. Like you were like, it was something like lighter pink.
Lighter pink, maybe.
I saw you.
Well, like I'm really, I don't know why I'm always there right now because all my, I'm launching a perfume, I'm working on my new collection with other, and all the events I'm working on are around there. Mm-hmm. So I have all these meetings there and I'm mm-hmm. spending my whole time in Center Bros. I would say first the bar. Elsa Bar in Brooklyn is the most beautiful bar you've ever seen. And also the cocktails are like haute couture. Elsa. Mm-hmm. It's my bar. Like I'm obsessed. You have to try. But then for restaurants, I really love Le Coucou downtown. It's very romantic and I really love the vibe there.
Yeah.
And then my favorite brunch is at this place in Bushwick called Carthage Must Be Destroyed. Mm-hmm. Have you heard of it?
Yes, I heard. I never been.
Oh, you should go. It's all pink, all hidden, and the food is amazing.
Wow. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you very much. I'm Pau Ribeiro, and you just listened to the Chats by Clo. If you like this episode, please subscribe to our channel and receive the new ones right away. Oh, and please rate and review. Thank you, and I'll see you soon.